Thank you again for joining us today, Facebook Live, YouTube. We thank God for you and thank God for this opportunity to come into your home, wherever you are, to bring encouragement to you today, to bring life to you. We know that God's word is life to us today. God gives us instructions to be encouraged. The Lord knew that there would be times that we would be tempted to be discouraged. He knew there would be times that we needed encouraging. And so I want to talk out of James today about the encouraging words that I believe that the Lord wants me to speak to you today and for all of us. We're all in this together. The Lord wants to give us encouragement today to move forward, to see this as opportunity. James 1, verses 1 and 2 says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. And then James gets right to what he wants to say in verse 2 of James 1. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I'd say we're in a trial right now, not only in this region, not only the United States, but in the world. We're in a trial. But James instructs us to take joy in this time of trial. James challenges us to be joyful when we're in trials, not if we have trials. Notice the words of verse 2. It says, when you fall into various trials, because trials will come. Trials come for, I believe, a testing of our faith. God doesn't cause the trial, but God creates growth. He creates encouragement and tests our faith in time of trial. God desires good to be produced in our life. But the way that he produces good in our life is brings us through the process of trials. There's a process of being encouraged. If you remember when you were in school, you had tests from time to time. We have college students, part of our congregation, school, the students that attend school, and from time to time there are tests. And how does a teacher know if the student is learning what's being taught unless there are tests given? And so Jesus is our teacher. And so he takes different events in our life, even though he doesn't cause them, he takes events in our life and creates an opportunity to teach us. And so during that time of teaching, there will be tests along the way where he tests our faith to see if we're getting what he's teaching. And we thought that when we left school, we were out of school. But this is really where the rubber meets the road. This is where we learn to have faith in God no matter what we face. God wants us to grow. Proverbs 17:3 says, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold. Now both the refining pot and the furnace have one thing in common. They're hot. They're hot. The refining pot and the furnace are both hot. It's from the heat, if you will, it's from the trial, if you will, that it brings a process of refinement. Now, you are much more precious than silver, much more precious than gold, but these atmospheres that we find ourselves in, even through the course of normal life, those atmospheres that are uncomfortable for us is actually a heating process to help refine us, to get the impurities out of us, so that they can be out and reveal the true purity of God in your life. And you know what? That's the only thing good in my life is that of God. But he goes on to say in Proverbs 17:3, but the Lord tests our heart. He tests our heart to see if we're getting what he's teaching. If even through the refining pot, if even through the furnaces, and even through the heat of the trial that you're facing today, the Lord tests our heart. And so there's a time of testing. There's a process. And so we have this thing in life that we've been given. We have the situations in life that we've been given, that we've been dealt, that we've all been given the same thing. So we have a choice to either see it as a process of testing or to shun it and not to learn what God wants to teach us through the testing. So the first thing I want to say is to see the test as a test. You know, it helped me when I was in school that I knew I was going to have a test. My mind, my very emotions, everything that I was doing that particular day was gearing me up for that test because I knew that I was going to be tested. I think as we know that we're going to face a test, we can prepare ourselves. The Lord says that he gives us strength that we can do all things. And so it's not in my strength that I can face the test, but it's in the strength that the Lord gives me to face the test. But we've got to see it as a test. When trials come, they're there to test us. See it as a test. See that God is preparing us to go through that test and not to run away from the facing of the trial. So we can shun it, but you know what? It'll be a facing of that trial that we will see again at some point in our life. God wants to build something greater in us. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. We're not to be fearful in a time of trial. We're not to be fearful in a time of testing. You know, we get nervous when we're being tested. Oh, will I do well You know, many students go to the testing table, and it's not that they don't have the mind, they don't have the intellect to do great on the test, but their emotions overcome them to where they're fearful and afraid that they'll fail, and so they fail the test. So God has instilled in us the ability to pass all tests. God has instilled in us through His Spirit to make us overcomers, to make us more than a conqueror, the Bible says. So He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. See, fear will cause us to channel our determination in the wrong direction. God's all given us a spirit to be determined in what we set our minds to. If you're like me, once you find out what direction you're going in and you set your mind on that, there's not anything that can stop you. And so that determination can be determined to get away from your trial, or that determination can be the Spirit of God to run you to the trial to be more than a conqueror, to succeed in what God wants you to do. Testing has a good purpose. God's testing has a good purpose. So don't be distracted by fear today. Don't be distracted by the things that are going on around you that seem so frightening and scared. See it as a test, because God is with you. He said in His Word, He will never leave you nor forsake you. James 1, 2 and 3, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. But in verse 3 it says, knowing that the testing, there's that word again, knowing that the testing of your faith, I hope you're sitting down, testing of your faith produces patience. Patience is not a good word, especially when you're tired of waiting. When you're tired of waiting, the last thing you want to talk about is patience. Please, Lord, don't give me patience. I don't want to go through the testing. But patience is good. Patience is a good thing that God wants to use to help us grow. God is teaching me patience. Why can't we get through this thing? Why can't we go to the next? There's something God is doing in our life. God is building something in us to prepare us for greater things to come. So James says, knowing that, we've got to know that this testing that we're facing, the testing that you're facing, whether it's financial, whether it's health, whether it's in relationships, whether it's in your job, no matter what it is, the testing that you're facing, the faith in that produces patience. Why do we need patience? Well, I can think of a few things why I need patience. I need patience to face the traffic in the mornings. I need patience to sit at that red light waiting for everybody else to go before it's my turn to go. I need patience. I need patience to hold that phone call. Well, your average wait time is 17 minutes. Your average wait time is 44 minutes. I need patience in waiting in the checkout line at Walmart. I know what I want to do. Why can't I get through this line and go? We need patience in waiting for the doctor's report. Patience is required every single day of our lives. And so the greater the test, the greater the patience. Secondly, we need to be open to the testing process. There's a process of testing. So we need to see it as a test, and then we need to be open to God working that process in our life. Have you ever tried to give your children advice? This is what you need to do. This is how you need to do it. And you can see the blank stare on their face. They haven't received one single word. You could be a horse standing in front of them. They would never know it. Giving them advice. Why? Why didn't they receive it? Because they weren't open to receiving what you were saying. Many times we're that way to God. God is testing us. God is putting us through the process to bring good out of our life, to build patience in our life, but yet we're not being open to receiving what He's telling us to do. God works in this way. God works in this way. What we need, we must give. So for me to have patience, I've got to give time. Let that sink in. Isn't that something? God, I need patience, but for me to get patience, I've got to give time. Time and patience are connected. Whatever you need today, learn to give. It's not an uncommon principle for God to cause us to give what we need more of. And in this instance, when we need patience, we must give time. Embracing the testing process, being open to the testing process. It may not change the situation. The situation may stay the same. It may not change the situation, but it will certainly change my attitude toward the situation. And then I'm thinking, well, God, as I'm open to this process, I don't understand why I'm still in it. But Lord, I know that You're bringing about good. You're building in me patience, that awful word, patience, being open to the testing that God wants to do. You know what? Sometimes my attitude needs to be adjusted. Sometimes my insight into a situation needs to be adjusted so that I see the way God wants me to see it and not the way that my intention is to see it. So God is working to renew our minds. He's working to renew our attitudes. He's working to test us as long as we're open to what he wants to do. Let patience, James 1:4 says, let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect. Wow. We can be made perfect through the work of patience. That's huge. Another translation would say we could be made mature. We can be growing. He goes on to say, and complete. Complete? Complete? You mean having everything that we need? That's exactly what James says. Have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If you will, underline that. Lacking nothing. What do you have need of today? This is the key to it right here. To lack nothing. There's nothing that you will lack as we're open to God, as we allow him to work the process of testing in our life. He knows what you're capable of. He knows what I'm capable of. But there's a process that he needs to bring us through in order to get the ultimate that we're able to do for him. We're made in the likeness of God, but there's a process that we have to go through to be like God. So there are times in our prayer that God wants to answer our prayer, but there's a process that we need to get to. Did you know that if we said, God, why can't I have the answer to my prayer today? Why can't this thing be done today? Why can't that answer that I'm praying for be done today? Because there's a process that he brings us through to help us manage the answer. And so if we get an answer to our prayer immediately, we may not be prepared to manage that. The last thing God wants to do is to give us a blessing that will cause us to pull away from him. That defeats the entire purpose of living. God wants to do things in our life that will draw us to him, not away from him. And so God is bringing us to a place of maturity so that we're able to manage the blessing that he's got already with your name on it. Well, why is God withholding that from me? Because he wants the best for you. The best for us is to walk us through the process so that we can manage the blessing that he's bringing to us. The first time I remember when our children, Josh now 33 and Jordan 29, when they came and they said, Dad, I want to drive the car. My first response to them was, absolutely, honey. The key is by the door. Take it and you go drive that car. That was my last response. My initial response was, no, you're not ready. Was I wanting to cheat them out of the enjoyment of driving the car? Absolutely not. But I knew that there was a process that they must go through to be prepared to handle the blessing of driving the car. So God says the same thing to us. He wants to bring us to a place to where we're ready to handle and to manage the huge, massive blessings. And believe me, they're bigger than what you believe today. To manage those blessings that he has coming your way. You're praying maybe for a good job, a better job. But you know what? There could be a process that you need to go through in order to be ready for that better job. If you're put into a situation to go to Washington, D.C. today, to be at the right hand of the president or maybe some other leader, God would love for you to have that position, but there's a process that you need to go through to be ready to handle the responsibility of that position. So you see where I'm at today. God doesn't want to, God wants to fulfill your desires. He doesn't want to cheat you out of any desire that you have today, but he wants to get us ready to the place that we can handle the blessing that we have. I've been told that there's a process to being fit and trim. I don't know what that process is, but there's a process. And they say it's a difficult process. You have to not eat some things that I enjoy eating. There are some things that you need to do, get up early in the morning and do, and those are the type of things. What I'm saying is there's a process in order to acquire what God is wanting to bless us with. There's a process. We must be open to the process, experiencing the answer that God wants us to experience. And so Romans 5, verses 3 and 4 says, and not only that, but we also glory, another word for rejoice, but we also glory or rejoice in tribulations. Now it's one thing to face a tribulation, it's another thing to rejoice in it. So he's not saying that we're only to face a tribulation, but we're also to be joyful, we're to rejoice, we're to also have glory in tribulations. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. There's that word, also known as patience again. Produces perseverance, and perseverance, patience,
Perseverance, also patience, character, and character hope. Now, hope is something that maybe you don't have today. Maybe you feel like things are hopeless. But all of these things, see, tribulation precedes hope. Why do we have to have hope? We have hope in God because we know that we can rejoice in Him knowing that He has the answer that He's prepared for us. And so faith, we can have faith. We can have faith in tribulation. But the tribulation is what produces our hope. So we need to embrace the path of testing. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7 says, In this tribulation, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while. See, I wish I knew how long this thing would last. I could stand here today and say, listen, if we could just make it to such and such date, if we could just make it to this point, it's going to all be over and be done. I know they were questioned, some of the leaders were questioned yesterday, how long will this last? Wouldn't that be great if we could say how long it would last? We don't know. The Bible says it'll be for a little while. It's not forever, but it'll be for a little while. If need be, you have been grieved by various trials, verse 7 of 1 Peter 1, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is the revelation? That is that we can know that we can rejoice in tribulation because Jesus is our hope. There's not anything that has conquered Jesus yet. Jesus has conquered everything. He has a good record. He's consistent. He's always 100%. And so we can rejoice, we can glory in the revelation of Jesus Christ because as relying on Him, we will succeed in whatever we do. We must be open to the process. See, God did not make the devil tempt Adam and Eve. The devil tempted Adam and Eve. God did not make him do that, but God used that as a time to test Adam and Eve. And so there was a testing time. God used the very test that the devil meant to bring harm to Adam and Eve, God used as a testing to them. Did they grow from that experience? They did. Can we grow from our experience of testing? We can. The greatest blessing in my life came out of the most challenging situations in my life. The most challenging situations, the times that I thought, there's no way I can make this. There's nothing I can do in this challenging situation. In those challenging situations, as I went through that thing, and sometimes it was hard, it was difficult, as I continued to walk through that thing, God brought about the greatest blessings of my entire life. It's in the darkest moments that God used to push me through those things. As long as we keep our eyes on Christ, even in the situation that we're in right now, God will cause greater blessings to come to your life. Thirdly, ask God for help. Ask God to help. The Bible says, James 4, 2, we don't have because we don't ask. It's really dealing with an issue of pride, which we'll talk about another day. The issue of pride that I can take care of this thing on my own. I know God has other things to do right now. But we should ask God for help. God, help me. God, give me the strength. Because as we cry out to Him, as we say, God, give me the help, He's there to help. He's there to bring into your life the answers that you need and the strength that you need to face everything in your life. If any of you lack wisdom, James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, what is wisdom? It's many times when you don't have all the answers. Can you raise your hand? I don't have all the answers. We don't have all the answers. But God does. God has all the answers. If any of you lack wisdom, if any of you are needing answers, so to speak, let him ask of God. Let us ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. And what does it say after that? It will be given to him. So if we ask God for answers, God, I need answers. I need directions. I need to know what to do. We ask God, God, show me. Do you know what? That answer can come through your neighbor. It can come through someone that loves you. It can come through a donkey. It can come through a burning bush. Your answer can come in any sort of ways. However God wants to deliver it to you. But the answer, the Bible says, God will give you the answers that you need. You've got to ask Him, God, I need your help. I need your direction. I need your wisdom and your peace. And so wisdom that God gives us is the wisdom is applying the knowledge. Sometimes we have the knowledge, we just don't apply the knowledge. But wisdom is the application of knowledge. Sometimes we don't do what we're supposed to do because we don't want to do it. It's not that we don't have the answers, it's just that we don't want to do it. Either it's too hard, it's not what we want to do, it doesn't fit into our time frame. And so sometimes there's an action process that we need to do in order to receive the blessing of God. So God gives us wisdom, number one, but that wisdom also is the application of knowledge, putting into action the knowledge that God has given us to do. And so a lot of times our answer lies on the other side of our action. Well, why can't God just bring it on without me having to act first? Well, there's a testing of our faith. The applying of the wisdom that God has given us. What good is knowledge without application? The first thing we need to do today is have faith in God. Our faith needs to say, God, all things are possible with you. No matter how long this takes, no matter how long this process takes, God. We see that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had to apply God's wisdom to their life. They had full faith in God. They proclaimed God. They declared God. God is going to save us from this thing. The next thing they know, they're in the furnace. Well, some would say, well, why did God fail them? God didn't fail them. But He had them apply the knowledge that, that He had given them, the wisdom, applying that so that they could see the answer. Your answer many times, my answer many times, lies on the other side of our obedience, on the other side of our action. And so we see that story in Daniel 3, 16 through 18. Take the time this afternoon to read that. Read that story of how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said in verse 18, "But if not, if God doesn't save us, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image which you set up before us." Let's be sure to follow God. And so what happens after they declare that? They went to the tour of the furnace. You've heard of the tour de France? They took the tour of the furnace. And so many times God has taken us through the heat or the refining process, the heat of life, in order to bring about the testing of our faith and the trial. Why can't God bring the answer before allowing us to go through the fire? Many times our answer is on the other side of our action. And so our action today, I believe that our action today should be to trust God, to call on God, and to pray more than ever. See, the time that we have on our hands today should be more devoted to reading the Word of God. That's where the answers are at. Reading God's Word and praying. And not wondering how long this will take. God is testing us. God is wanting to bring about a more faithful people in this time. And lastly, as I conclude, we've got to trust God. Number four, trust God. Trust that God knows what He's doing. Trust that God is going to bring good out of this for you and for me. Trust that God is going to bring all of this together as we read in Romans 8:28. He'll make all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. All things. There's nothing excluded. Even this that we're facing today, even what you're facing today, there's nothing excluded that God will not use to bring about good. James 1, 6 through 8 says, "But let him ask in faith with no doubting." That's trusting God. We ask in faith and we leave it there. God, I don't doubt. I know that you've got this. For he who doubts, the Bible says in James 1, 6, is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Verse 7, "For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded and unstable in all his ways." If we doubt, if we don't have faith, if we don't trust God, then we're double-minded. God wants us to be single-minded, to believe Him and to trust Him that He will do what He says He will do, that He is faithful in every single thing of our life. He'll give us the strength to face anything that we face today. Believe for the answer before you see it. Believe for the answer before you receive it. Trust God before you see the answer coming. Even Acts 16:31 says, so they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Did you notice that there's a requirement to believe before receiving salvation? So even salvation, we've got to believe it before we receive it. So God is asking you today, trust me. Trust me. Whatever you're facing today, whatever you have need of today, trust God. First you believe, and second you receive. Why? Because our trust and our faith is in a God who has never failed us. Never failed us. His promise for us is that we will receive His blessings, says James 1:12, says, blessed is the man who endures. Blessed is the man who endures, who is consistent, who is persistent to follow God, no matter what you face. If it's a virus, so be it. Praise God. We can rejoice in that because we know that God is faithful. Now, we do have to have wisdom. There's wisdom, and that's why we're doing what we're doing today. We're applying God's wisdom to do what we feel like God is speaking for us to do. But did you know what? God is faithful, and He will reward you for your endurance and for your consistency in Him. Trust Him. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Don't grow weary while trusting God, but know that He's there with you. It's never too late for us to grow in Him. No matter what age we are, no matter how old we get, no matter how young we are, even in the mother's womb, we know that children hear our voices. You can teach your child while they're still in the womb, before they're even here, because they hear. They're soaking up everything that they're listening to. And so it is until the day we die. We can soak up what God is speaking to us and say, God, I want to learn from this situation. I want to draw closer to You during this situation. I want to read Your word. I want to learn of You. I want to pray. I want to hear Your voice. And God today is alive and well to do just that. He has no other agenda today except to speak to you, except to love you, except to encourage you through His word today. And that's the God that we serve. I want to pray encouragement to you today. I want to pray that you'll trust God more than ever before. I want to pray that God will just move on your heart to where you say, God, I want to trust You. I'm not going to be fearful. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to use wisdom, apply knowledge that You've put in my life. And I want us to stand with You. Our staff and elders and their families are here to stand with You. We've prayed. We've covered this time together in prayer that God will speak to your heart, that God will encourage you, that as we grow closer to Christ, no matter how long this takes, that we'll be stronger than ever, we'll be better than ever, we'll be closer to Christ than ever, that we can believe God for anything. The Bible says that all things are possible through Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad? Nothing is impossible with Him. And so, the app that Elder Andy mentioned earlier, it's our smartphone app. You can go, it's free. St. Simon's Christian Renewal, download that. You can listen to today's sermon there. You can listen to previous sermons as well. We'd love to be in contact with you no matter where you are. You can actually send prayer requests in through that app. And when you send a prayer request in, we receive that. We'll be praying for you. We want to hear from you. We want to be in contact with you and be in connection with you. If you have a home church, we're praying for you and your home church. We still cover you. We love you. We pray that God will bring all this as a strengthening to you as we've preached today, that God will strengthen you and your church family. But if you don't have a church home, we'd love to connect with you, love to encourage you. You can submit prayer requests there, go to our website there. You can give tithe and offering. You can read the Bible there. You can take notes there. So use that. Use that as we pray for you today. Crystal, I'll ask for you to come join me this morning. We want to pray for you that God will bless you today. We love you. We know that God is with you. So if you would just stretch forth your hand this morning, Father, I pray that as we've read your word this morning, as we've studied your word, God, I pray that it'll take deep roots in our hearts. God, that it'll be there, God, to help us to grow in you, to mature in you, that we can believe you for anything. We can completely trust you, Father, for the work that you're doing in our lives. God, we know that you didn't pick out the test. You didn't cause anything that we're facing today. You didn't cause that. But, Father, you're going to bring good out of that. You're going to bring good out of that. We thank you. Thank you that you're our loving God. You're an awesome teacher. You're our Father. You love us. You have the very best for us. We love you today. Now I pray, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift the light of his countenance upon you and give you his awesome peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Stay in contact with us. We'll see you next Sunday at 10:30 a.m.